today as we come to the table.
What God is going to do in Peter's life and what he did for the early church was set them free. I mean, if anybody came out of tradition, it was the Jews. Now, we have all our denominations with all their traditions today. We have our non-denominations with developing traditions today. And with all the traditions, again, there's nothing wrong as long as we understand the difference between Bible and just what we've decided we want to do as a tradition. Because if you get bound by that tradition, then you're going to be useless to the Lord in the way God wants to work. We've got to be free in that. And God is going to set Peter free. God is going to set the early church free. And God wants to set us free.
Pastor Mark goes after tradition today, but it's not just for the sake of bucking tradition. It's in the interest of the freedom of following Jesus. When our traditions get in the way of what God wants to do, we aren't living in the freedom He gave us. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will show us today that God longs to make us free from our traditions that are holding us back from being fully effective for Him. Ask him today which of your traditions are moving you and those around you closer to Jesus and which ones might be holding you back. God free the early church from prejudices against Gentiles. Where does he want to free you? Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 10 as he begins his message, Tearing Down Walls, Part 1.
Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 10. As we're covering Acts 10, verses 1 through probably only 8 or so today, not covering that much territory, but we're starting looking at really a time of tearing down walls. Let's read this together. Notice in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. At about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in the vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. And God, I thank you, Lord, for this portion of scripture that you have given us that shows us that you are the one that sets us free. And Lord, there are some here this morning that need to be set free. Some that maybe need to give their life to you for the first time. Some, Lord, that need to just be set free from religious tradition. Some that need to be set free from all kinds of things. But Father, as we look in this passage and we see the work that you did in Peter's life and in Cornelius's life and in the life of the early church here in this passage, God, it still needs to be done today. The work that needed to be done then to establish the foundation and the growth of your church 2,000 years ago is just as needed and prevalent today. And Lord, that's going to become clear from looking at this scripture over the next couple of weeks. But I pray, God, that you would now bring your word to life. I ask, God, that you would just pour out your spirit. Your word says where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Lord, I pray that you'd set your people free, Lord, especially in the South. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've entitled today, Tearing Down Walls, because this is exactly what we're going to see today. And this particular portion of Scripture is very dear to me for a number of reasons. And the reason being is because I was raised, like most of you, in the South. Now, not all of you were, but a lot of you were. And in the South, we are known as a portion of the nation that is full of tradition. And the church is known as a portion of the nation that in the South is full of tradition. Now, let me just say this. Not all tradition is bad. Some tradition is great. But when it comes to tradition and the Bible, we have to make sure that our tradition is biblical and doesn't put us into bondage. Because a lot of the things that we do in our churches today, or maybe in the denomination or non-denomination that you were raised in, were simply tradition and had nothing to do with the Lord. And if God is ever going to get us as a church reaching Knoxville and reaching our nation and reaching the world the way he wants us to reach them, we've got to be free. We've got to be open, and we've got to be free and open for all to come in these doors and to reach everyone. And that's going to mean tearing down walls of tradition. And here's the thing, for us, it's got to start with us tearing down the walls. And then as people come in, we've got to help them tear down those walls. Because you would be surprised how many traditional walls, maybe you wouldn't if you're from the South, you wouldn't be as surprised, but there are a lot of traditional walls and things in the church today, guys, that are simply there from religion and are simply in the way and keep people from growing and being mature. Now, I'm going to pick just a couple this morning to give you an example. And really, what God's going to do in this, let me just say this. What God is going to do in Peter's life and what he did for the early church was set them free. I mean, if anybody came out of tradition, it was the Jews. Now, we have all our denominations with all their traditions today. We have our non-denominations with developing traditions today. And with all the traditions, again, there's nothing wrong as long as we understand the difference between Bible and just what we've decided we want to do as a tradition. Because if you get bound by that tradition, then you're going to be useless to the Lord in the way God wants to work. We've got to be free in that. And God is going to set Peter free. God is going to set the early church free. And God wants to set us free. And again, from this bondage. Now, I want to give you a couple examples of religious tradition in the South. I know you've probably heard of them. But me growing up in a strong denomination in the South, Peter growing up in the only denomination of the nation. Can you imagine one denomination of the nation? It was Judaism. That was it. Now, we have multiple denominations, and I think that God uses the different denominations for his purposes. I don't like the walls that separate the denominations, but with the different segments of denomination, God has allowed the church to find where you can worship the Lord more comfortably, more freely, more as to your personality. Some of you like that. Some of you like that. The reason most of you are here this morning is probably because you like Calvary Chapel. But the bottom line is, whatever your desire is and whatever your like is, I believe God has given us different ways to express that. And that's fine as long as the walls aren't in place. But the problem I had growing up in Southern tradition were walls were everywhere. You know, this denomination didn't do anything with that denomination, and that denomination didn't do anything with that denomination. And now it gets in some circles where that non-denomination won't do anything with that non-denomination or whatever. We have a tendency to put walls up and to block ourselves, and we have our religious traditions. God has got to set us free, guys. And my prayer has been this week, and it's going to be next week, that God will set us free as a body. Because I believe until God completely sets us free, he can't do what he wants to do here in us and through us in what God has called really his church to be. And it's got to start with us right here. Now, I'll give you a couple real quick. Mark, what are you talking about? Religious traditions. I'm going to give you a couple of religious traditions that the Bible says nothing about. Zero. But you probably have a strong opinion. And you might be shocked when I tell you the Bible says nothing about it. Number one, what you wear to church. I don't know your denominational background, but I know for me, we wore certain things to church and certain things we didn't wear to church. Now, I'm not talking about going to church in a lewd fashion or something unacceptable. We understand basic standards of living, you know, the right way before God. But the Bible doesn't say you have to wear a certain outfit. It's funny, when I was growing up, I used to say, well, the Bible doesn't say you have to wear a suit to church. I've been involved in Calvary Chapel so long, I might say, well, the Bible doesn't say you have to wear blue jeans. If you want, you're free to wear a suit. You really are. You're free to wear a suit to Calvary Chapel. Now, you know, you might stand out some, but you're free to do that. Don't feel in bondage. I can't wear a suit. I go to Calvary Chapel. Certainly you can. You can wear a tux if you want, whatever you want to wear. But the Bible says absolutely zero about your clothing when you seek the Lord, because God is concerned about what? Your heart. He doesn't care what you have on, just as long as you do, you know? I mean, it's your heart that the Lord's after. I remember someone saying to me one time, well, you know, we need to wear our best to church because we're coming into the presence of God. When you leave this building, are you leaving the presence of God? Guys, as believers, everywhere you go and everywhere you are, guess what you're in? The presence of God. I don't mean to be flippant about this, but in the shower, you're in the presence of God. And yet, I don't wear a suit in the shower. So is it wrong either way, what you wear? No, the Bible is absolutely silent on it. God says, I want your heart. He doesn't make an issue of it. Men make an issue of it. And we set our boundaries up and our traditions up. And that if you don't do it, you know, you're whatever, this kind of thing. I was excited to have somebody tell me, well, I met somebody the other day with a tattoo, so I sent them to your church. I don't have any tattoos. Okay, except the Bugs Bunny that I've got right. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any tattoos. Why would they send him here? You know what that tells me? Calvary Chapel has a reputation that we don't care if you have a tattoo. Amen. You know, we're not promoting them. We're not fighting it. But the point is, Jesus wants your heart. And if you have a tattoo or you wear this or you don't or whatever, Jesus loves you and wants you to grow with us in the Bible and be a part of the body. So it doesn't matter. I was happy to hear that. The person actually went on to say they would never be accepted at my church. And I thought, how sad that is. Now, whatever church that was, doesn't matter to me. I don't even remember what church it was. That's not the point. The point is, they're our brothers and sisters. They are. We love them. Whatever church that is, we love them. But they are obviously under some type of man-made religious bondage. Are you with me? We've got to fight against that, guys. Let me give you another one. The type of music that's in church. You know, the Bible says nothing about the type of music. It doesn't tell the rhythm, the beat. It doesn't tell the style. It just says, make sure you're worshiping God. Whether it's really kicking or traditional organ. If it's from your heart and that body of believers is singing to the Lord, it's okay. Are you with me? But again, I'll tell you the struggle I had. Listen, the struggle I had when I first came to the Lord, I came out of a heavy metal background. I was a rocker as a kid, you know, and the whole thing and this kind of thing. And that's what I did. You guys are laughing. I hear you laughing. I did a lot of things as a kid you'd laugh about. No, I'm just kidding. That you probably wouldn't believe. But the point is, you know, that's what I did. When I first got saved and came into the church, if I heard anything to do with rock music in the church, I didn't go around on some tirade saying, that's wrong. I just kind of felt inside going, oh, I can't do that. How do they do that? Why? Because in my mind, since I had used it for sin, it must be wrong. No, wasn't wrong. There was nothing wrong in music that's really kicking. It just needed to honor God. And the feel needed to honor God, and the words needed to honor God. It needed to be something to lift the Lord up. So you're free in your style of music. The church is free in the style of music that it uses. You know what I find interesting? Of course, there's a lot of things that God says about worship and what worship is supposed to be. So I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the type of music is not mentioned. But the only thing I could think of this morning that God does say about worship in Scripture is that it's supposed to be loud. Continually, from the Old Testament. Now, hang on. Now, the people that don't like it loud are going, I can't believe he said that. We're not going to, you know, get some big volume switch up here and me hang on it, you know, and come around. Wheel of Fortune type thing. Because some of you don't like it that way, and I'm not picking on you. My point is, it's funny. That's the only thing I can find that God consistently says throughout the Scriptures, do it loud, and that's usually where I get the most complaints. But as far as the style of music, as far as the rhythm or the beat or whatever else it might be, God doesn't care. But how many of you guys right now, when I mention closing music, you're churning a little bit inside? Probably not many because you're here. That's why you're here. But some of you came out of that background. Peter came out of a strictly religious tradition background that God is now going to begin to move Peter out of and say, Peter, you've got to let that go. You've got to be free. You've got to move on, because if you're going to reach the Gentiles and you're going to reach the world, you've got to let go of all the religious tradition and love people where they are. Now, I'm not talking about becoming like the world. Does everybody know the difference? A boat in the water is a real good thing, but water in the boat will sink it. So the church has to go out into the world, and we don't become flooded. We stay holy. We stay who we are, but we go among the world. What we don't want is to become like the world. You know, Jesus, when he came into the world, he went to everybody, sinners and everybody alike, right where they were. He didn't become like the sinners. Note that. He didn't become like them, but he reached down to where they were, and he met them right where they were. You see the difference? And so we have to be free, and we have to realize that we can't get bound up in all of our religious traditions that come from our church. Peter was bound up from not just 200 years of American tradition in the South. Peter was bound up from thousands of years of religious tradition among the Jews. And at the same time, the fact the law had now been fulfilled and Jesus Christ had started a new covenant and all these things that are going on. So imagine what Peter was facing here. Again, very, very interesting to see how tradition can grab on and not let go. I was reading this week about the tradition of the cotton ball. If you shake a new bottle of aspirin, it will sound differently than you remember. Because for nearly 100 years, it said, the Bayer Corporation placed a white cotton clump in each bottle until they discovered that aspirin would hold up fine without the extra cushion. Chris Allen, Bayer's vice president of technical operations, said, we concluded there really wasn't any reason at all to keep the cotton except tradition. Besides, he said, it makes it even harder to get to the product. And note this, last statement, I thought this was very appropriate. If a tradition in a church isn't serving a valid purpose, it needs to be removed like the cotton in the aspirin bottle. Traditions usually consume people's time, effort, and money that can be better used to fulfill the new work that God wants them to do. Jesus, speaking of the denomination of Judaism, he said, you guys are following the commandments of men and you're ignoring the commandment of God. So much so that you're not even doing what I've asked you to do, and you're putting the commandments of men over that. And again, we're going to see more of this next week when we get into this whole episode where Peter goes to Cornelius' house. This is really more of just laying the foundation of what God's going to be doing. But before we jump into chapter 10, I think we need to look at verse 43 of chapter 9. Remember, Peter was in the area. Tabitha in Joppa had died. If you were here last week, they heard that Peter was near. They sent for Peter. They said, come down here, lay your hands on Tabitha, or just come down here to us. They wanted him to pray. He came down. He prayed for Tabitha. God raised Tabitha from the dead. And this is where God begins to work in Peter's heart to change him and to set him free from tradition. Because notice what it says in verse 43. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Now, I let the cat out of the bag last week, but I need to tell you a little bit about what a tanner was. A tanner was the one that worked with the hides, the leathers, and all the different skins that you made things from, whether it be clothing or purses or wine, you know, wine jugs or whatever the case might be. The tanner would take the animal, the dead animal, skin it, treat all the hide and all these different chemicals and all, and that's why they're down by the sea typically, because it stunk so much. And then they would make the product and put the product out. For a Jew to go into the home of a tanner or to be around a tanner would be absolutely taboo. Why? The Jews couldn't be around anything dead. The denomination of Judaism said if you go around something dead, you're defiled. And so they couldn't do that. And I can imagine Peter when he got there to Joppa. And he's now raised Tabitha from the dead, and they're all so excited. Oh, Peter was so excited. And he's going, look, hey, you know, I can't, it didn't tell us what happened, but I can't, you know, I can't move on right now. It's you know, I've got kind of lays or a place I can stay tonight or someone. Yeah, is there any way, you know, any place Peter can stay? Yes, oh, yes, over here. Simon, he'll let you stay. There's Simon. Can Peter stay? Yes, sure, great. Yeah, Simon the tanner will take you. Can you imagine the awkward moment? Simon the tanner? He has dead animals in his house. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, Simon. Oh, yeah. And this, imagine what's going on in Peter's mind. And God is now taking Peter to his, really, I'll call his second real challenge, but his, maybe his first real challenge, but his second episode we see in Scripture where Peter was now moving beyond tradition to be free in the Lord. When was the first one? The first one was when Peter and John were running to the tomb. You see, you couldn't go into a tomb where somebody dead was because you'd be defiled. And remember, it says that when John got to the tomb, John outran Peter. He was younger. And John throws that in his gospel. You know, John outran Peter. Who would put that in there? But anyway, okay, you won. What's your point? All right. He stopped. Here's what I love about Peter. Peter ran right in. And what it shows me is this. Although it was wrong for Peter to do that by his denominational standards, Peter's love for Jesus was greater than his denominational standards. Isn't that awesome? And that's where we've got to be, guys. Peter said, I don't care what my denomination says. I'm going in that tomb because I love Jesus and I'm trying to find him. And some of you guys are trying to find Jesus with all your heart, and traditional religious standards has kept you from all that God has for you. It's kept you from moving on, from doing what God wants you to do. We've got to get to a place where we say, I love Jesus more than my denomination. Some of you, when we do worship, listen, you don't have to raise your hands and clap your hands to do worship. You don't have to do that. You're free not to do that. Is everybody clear on that? And you're not less of a Christian. But here's my concern. I think some of you are not free to raise your hands or clap because of your tradition. We never did that. We don't do that. I'm afraid to do that. Here's all I'm hoping that God does through this study over the next couple of weeks, that God begins to lay a foundation to set you free. We're going to see next week, the Lord says to Peter, he gives him a vision, says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And these were unclean things. God may say to you, you know, Mark, rise, clap and sing. You know, no, not so, Lord. Never since my youth have I defiled myself with such an action in public or whatever. You don't have to do that. But I want you to be free to. I want you to know that it's okay. I want you to know that it's biblical. And God has got to do this in Peter's life. He's got to set Peter free. He's got to take Peter and the church to a brand new place that they've never been before. And so now, again, we see him start this whole process. And so again, he goes to Simon, a tanner. And notice there in verse 1, there was a certain, so he's laying the foundation. He's going to take him beyond this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now, a little bit of background here to understand this. First of all, centurions. They were Roman soldiers that were in charge of 100 men. Hence the word cent, 100, centurion. So they were ruled over 100 men. This was a regiment called the Italian Regiment. So he was in the military, and this was obviously a group of Italian men, probably an Italian leader here, this Cornelius. And it's interesting, when you look at the history of centurions, they had to be men of great character. A centurion basically had to take a vow that if he was in a battle and any of his men were left behind, he would not leave them. Even if he knew he was going to die. If he knew, if I go back into this battle, I'm going to die. He knew that, right? Even though he knew that, he was bound by his word and by his honor to go back in and to fight to try to save his fellow brothers and to try to rescue them. We see the Marines do the same thing today. They have this thing where the Marines take an oath. And their oath, you know, pretty much is no man left behind. If I'm somewhere and my brother goes down, even though I know by running back in there I'm facing a thousand guys with weapons aimed right at me, I'm going through that door. Here I go. And they take that oath. They take that vow. A centurion was the same type of commitment, the same type of character. So we know that he had some level of character because of that, but we're going to see more of his qualities. As we look at here, it describes what his qualities are here in just a moment. We'll get to the qualities of the centurion, but just wanted you to understand what he was doing. The tradition was of the centurion and the kind of man that this was. And notice it says, really, let's go ahead and jump into that. Verse 2, a devout man and one who feared God. Look how it describes now this centurion, a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So look at this characteristic of this man. He was devout to God. He feared God. He led his household in the things of God, not just his family, but his servants, we'll see in just a moment. He gave alms generously to the Lord, generously to the people, so he was a giver, and he prayed to God always. So it's not just that Cornelius was a man of character in the world's eyes. He was a man of character in God's eyes. And God is now going to bless him because of that. It's interesting. Cornelius literally means severed. And why do I find that interesting? Because God is now about to use Cornelius to help Peter sever himself from religious tradition and to learn to walk free in the Lord. And so even the Holy Spirit using the name Cornelius here, no doubt would have been something to Peter saying, sever? What are you severing, Lord? What are you doing? I want you to be free from the religious tradition that you're bound up in. And now we see the character of the man. So now we understand why God would go to this man, a man of this type of character, or rather send an angel.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.